Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Well, good morning to all my pure-blooded Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I had a little computer glitch, not due to the computer, but due to me. I double-clicked on something when I should have single-clicked. Oh, well. We have had a very successful run at this book of Genesis. And this is show number 7. And we're going to be starting out in Genesis 12 today. And we did the ancestry yesterday in chapter 11. And we're going to get into where Yahweh tells Abram to leave his household of his father. So let's get right into it. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Said Yahweh to Abram, walk you from the land of your birth, Hebrew number 41:38, and from the house of your father to a land that I will show you. Well, he wanted to get Abram out of there because the household of his father had the little teraphim in it, the weather gods and crop gods and all the little g idols, and he was going to remove him from the land of Aram and send him all over hither and yon. It's going to be an exciting journey for him, and he has no idea what's coming. He really doesn't. He's a young man, and he's going to obey Yahweh and going to start everything rolling. So we get into verse 2. I will make of you a great, number 14:19, nation, goyim. Actually, goy, legoy, gadol. Okay, this is Abram, who will later become Abraham. And the Jews say that we're goyim. There's Abram, the forefather of all of us, and if they're really of the seed of Abraham, and they claim not to be goyim, and say the only the non-Jews are goyim, they're cattle. Well, it doesn't mean cattle, first of all. It means nation. So that's more lies and deceptions. Because here, Yahweh is calling Abram a goy. Legoy gadol, right out of Yahweh's mouth. So I think Yahweh's higher on the pecking order than the Jews, folks. I'm sorry. And I will make of you a great nation and will bless, number 1288, and this is a single word in Hebrew, make great. Again, that's 14:31. That's wa'agadila instead of gadol, 14:19. It's in the same root, but a different tense. And make great your name, Shemekah, and you shall be a blessing. Number 1293 instead of 1288. Baraka. And 1288 is Wa'abareka. Here's something in verse 3 that all the translations have wrong. Every single one of them. They have messed with the word order and the definitions. I will bless your blessers. Not those who bless you. Your blessers. Quit changing the words around. And curse, number 7043, your cursers, number 779. Two different words for curse. And here's the key passage that they have chopped up. Pardon me. And will bless through you all your kindred clans. That's one word in the Hebrew. Number 4940. Your kindred clans of the soil. 127, Adama. Going back to Adam. Wenibareko beka kol mishpikot ha'adama. That's what it says in the Hebrew, and they have changed it all around to put the blessing on everybody, all the people of the earth. It does not say all the people of the earth. It says your kindred clans, Mishpachot, number 4940, specifically, again, specificity, that this blessing goes to the seed line of Abram, who will become Abraham. The beginning of the Abrahamic covenant. And it is not universal. It is specific. Verse 4. So walked Abram. And they use walked as so went Abraham. Well, he walked. It's literally to walk. So walked Abram, as that spoken to him of Yahweh, and walked Lot with Abram. 75 years of age was he when he set forth from Charan, and took Abram, Sarai, his wife, and Lot, son of his brother, in other words, his nephew, and all the property that they had gathered, number 7408, and all the persons, number 5315, that they acquired, number 6213, in Haran, and went forth to walk the land of Canaan. And they came into the land of Canaan. Verse 6. And passed through Abram the land unto the place of Shechem. Number 7927. Unto the terebinth, not oaks, the terebinth, a giant shade tree, number 436, huge tree, really huge. And they use these trees as markers, like mile markers or place markers. The trees were so big and so scattered that they became famous. The Terebinth of Moreh, 4176. And the Canaanite were then in the land. Pardon me, folks. Morning bronchitis, and I have to mute my mic. It's just something that I have. I was spray painting a truck with Centauri paint many, many years ago and had a bad filter on my mask, and I got some Centauri with a hardener in my bronchial tubes, and it ate them up and scarred them. So I have this tickle all the time, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's permanent. So here's another important verse. Now, if you've got your King James or any other translation, please turn to chapter 12, verse 7. And appeared 7200, which literally means to be seen or to see, and appeared Yahweh unto Abram and said, and here's the key passage, to your seed line. 2233 can mean seed and seed line. Here it means seed line. I give, 5414, this, 2063, land, 776, to Abram's seed line, specific seed line of Abram. Doesn't mean universal. Doesn't mean to all the mixed breeds there, specifically isolated to the seed line of Abram. So he built there an altar to Yahweh who had appeared to him. Verse 8, chapter 12. He proceeded, 6275, from there to the hill country, 2022. Now that can mean mountains, hills. A lot of times it means hill country. He proceeded from there to the hill country on the east of Bethel, the house of El, which hadn't been named yet, because this book was written afterwards. So Moshe put the name in. But it didn't have a name at that time. Jacob Israel named it. And pitched his tent with Bethel seaward, 3220, now it says to the west, but it's actually seaward. Miyam. Yam means sea, because they are speaking of the Mediterranean Sea, which was to the west. So when they say seaward, it means west. And Kedem, with a Q, means to the east. With Bethel seaward, and I, A-Y, number 5857, on the east. That's Mikedem, 6924. And built there an altar to Yahweh, and called upon the name of Yahweh. Again, they knew the name of Yahweh back then. It was not just delivered in Exodus. They knew the name of Yahweh and called upon the name of Yahweh. So their translations where they say, oh, he revealed his name in Exodus. No, he reminded them who he was in Exodus. They knew his name. We'll get to that when we get into Exodus. That's an interesting passage, because they turned it into a statement instead of a question. Verse 9. Then journeyed, number 5265, Abram, walking and journeying toward the Negev. Number 5045. They also mean, that also is used as south, but is the southern desert region, which would eventually become the possession of Yehuda. That was their inheritance toward the Negev. That's the Negev, and they did their thing in Negev. Now here's where Abram goes to Mitzrayim, which is Egypt. Verse 10. There was a famine, 7458, Ra'ab, in the land. And went forth Abram to Mitzrayim. That's a flowery form of Mitzrayim. They do that with places. To sojourn, number 1481, Lagur, because of Gur or Ger. Ger is a sojourner, that's 1616, and Gur is to sojourn, 1481, from the same root. To sojourn there because heavy, 3515, was the famine upon the land. So Abram is beginning his journeys. Chapter 12, verse 11. And it was that when he was close, number 7126, to entering Mitzrayim, he said to Sarai, his wife, "Behold now, I know you are a woman of beautiful," number 3303, appearance, number 4758. "And it must be, when see you the Mitzrim," number 4713, that's the inhabitants of Mitzrayim, "and say, this is his wife, and they will kill," number 2026, "me, but you they will keep alive." In other words, he thinks they're going to kill him and make her a concubine or a harem woman or something. Verse 13, "Say please," 4994, same word as they used as now, it means both. "Now," or "I pray thee," or "please." It has multiple uses. "Say please that you are my sister," number 269, Akothi. Akoth is brother, Akothi is sister. "So it may be well." Be well is one word. 3190, "for my sake," number 5668, Ba'aburek, "and I shall be a living person," Wakayeta Nefeshi, 5315, Nefeshi, again, person or soul, "I will be a living person because of you," number 1588, Bigalalek. He's scared. They're going into a foreign land, and he's worried because he's really got a knockout for a wife, that they're going to kill him and take her away. Verse 14, "And it was, when came Abram into Mitzrayim, saw the Mitzrim, that the woman was beautiful." Verse 15. "Saw her, the officials," number 8269, "of Paro," not Pharaoh. It does not have an H in there. They've misspelled it and mispronounced it. It's Paro. P-A-R and then the S sound and O-H. Paro. Number 6547. And praised 1984. Where's 1980? There we go. And praised her to Pharaoh, and was taken the woman into the house of Pharaoh. And Abraham and Abram was well for her sake. In other words, they thought he was her brother, and they didn't want to tick her off. So they gave him a bunch of stuff. And Abram was well for her sake. And there were sheep and cattle and male asses and male slaves and female asses and camels. They loaded him up. Here's the retribution. Even though Abram deceived him, verse 17, but struck 50-60, Yahweh, Pharaoh, you got me saying Pharaoh, but struck Yahweh, Pharaoh, with great plagues, 5061. And his household over the matter, 1697, of Sarai, wife of Abram. Verse 18, called Parao for Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was wife to you? Verse 19, why did you say, she is my sister? I could have taken her as my wife. He hadn't touched her yet. And now, behold your wife, take her and go. And verse 20, and commanded his men concerning him, Parao, and they sent him away with all that was his. Oh boy, Abram could have got himself in some real hot water right there. And he lucked out. They just gave him all his stuff and said, get out of here. These plagues are on us. This isn't the only time this is going to happen. He's going to do this again, and others will do the same thing. They were very upset, so he wore out his welcome right away. And he's going to have to move on. So we'll go into chapter 13 now. Verse 1. Went up, number 5927, Abram from Mitzrayim, he and his wife and all that was his, all the stuff they gave him in Mitzrayim, because Yahweh set it up for him to be provided for. Even though he deceived in Mitzrayim, they weren't his, Yahweh's people. And he used them. And all it was his, and Lot with him, into the Negeba. There's Negev with the ah on the end, the flowery pronunciation of it. Verse 2, chapter 13. And Abram was very heavy, 3515, in livestock, 4735, and silver, 3701, and gold, 2091. And he walked on his journey, number 4550, from the Negev unto Bethel. Remember, Moshe's writing this years later. And the place was already named. And he's writing it so people can relate to the place during that time period. Everybody knew where Bethel was. Unto the place that his tent was at the first, number 8467, went back to where he was camped. Between Bethel and between Ai, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, 7223, and called there Abram on the name of Yahweh. Again, calling on the name of Yahweh. They always knew it. Yahweh made himself known to these people. So they called on his name. They knew it. Verse 5 of chapter 13. And also Lot that walked with Abram had sheep and cattle and tents. They had a trickle-down effect evidently to Lot. And he was pretty well set up as well. Verse 6. And could not support them the land that they dwell together, because were their possessions so many, they were not able to dwell together. Verse 7. There was contention, 7379, between the herdsmen, number 7462, of the livestock of Abram, and between the livestock of Lot. And the Canaanite and the Perizzi then dwelled in the land. That's the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And today we have the Perizzites. verse 8. Said Abram to Lot, let there not be bitterness, 4808, between me and between you, and between my herdsmen and between your herdsmen, because men of kinship, number 251, Achim, brotherhood, of the same womb, kinship, blood kinship, are we. Same thing Eli and I talk about, blood kinship, from the same womb, right there, in Genesis, the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. Verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Separate, 6504, now, 4994, from me. If you go to the north, I will go to the south. North is 8040, and south here is a different word from Negev. It's 3231. Let's see, that's Amina. If you go to the right hand, 3225, right hand, Hayamin, I will go to the left hand. 8041, Watsamila. Well, right hand, 3225, Hayamin. Eventually, the last son born to Jacob Israel, Binyamin, means son of the right hand. So here's right hand used, ha-yamin, to the right hand, because ha is the article attached to yamin, and means the, yamin, right hand. So he would name him, his last son, son of the right hand. Binyamin. Verse 10. Lifted up Lot his eyes and looked at all the district. Number 3603. Kikar. That means around or a district. A talent of gold. A round piece that weighed a certain amount. This word is used for all of those. And looked at all the district of the Yarden, not Jordan, Yarden, Yarden, 3383, that's the Jordan River. The Yarden, they don't have river attached to it, it's implied by that word. For everywhere it was well watered, one word, well watered, 4945. Of course it was by the river of the Arden. And it was well watered before destroyed, 7843, before destroyed Yahweh, Sidom, 5467. They have that as Sodom, it's Sidom, and Amorah, 6017. They have that as Gomorrah. Before Yahweh destroyed Yahweh, Sidom and Amorah, as the Garden of Yahweh. It was just like the Garden of Eden. It was so beautiful and well-watered and fertile. And as the land of Mitzrayim, as you enter, soar, T-S-O-A-R, number 6820. Egypt is not all desert and sand and pyramids at that point. There was a lot of fertile land there. It is not the same now. Verse 11. Chose Lot all the district of the Yarden, and journeyed Lot to the east, 6924 again, and they separated each man from his kinsman. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities, 5892, of the district, and pitched his tent, number 167, Wayaihal, toward Sidon. Verse 13. Here we go. The men of Sidon were wicked, number 7451, and sinners, number 2400, to Yahweh exceedingly, number 3966, Me'od, very much, exceedingly. Verse 14. And Yahweh said to Abram, after separated Lot from with him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place that you are there northward, 6828, and southward, 5045, again Negeb, and eastward, 6924, Kedem, and seaward, Hayam. Verse 15, for all the land that you see, to you I give it, and to your seed line, 2233, until 5704 everlasting 5769. Verse 16. I will make your seed line as the dust, 6083, of the land. If Abel, 3201, is a man to number 4487, the dust of the land. Also, your seed line will be numbered. Verse 17, arise, 6965, and walk through the length, the land in the length, 753, and breadth, 7341 of it, for to you I give it. No ambiguity there, no universalism there. This land was given to Abram and his seed line, his descendants, not the Ites. Abram's seed line. Verse 18, removed his tent. 167. Now that can be either pitched. Wayehal can be to pitch your tent or to remove it, depending on the context of the passage. Same word. You can see why Hebrew is difficult to translate. Removed his tent, Abram, and went and dwelled at the terebinths. There's the big shade trees again. Number 436. Of Mamre, 4471. That is in Hebron. 2275. They have Hebron in the King James. It's Hebron. And built there an altar, 4196, to Yahweh. Third altar he built. In verses 14 through 17, Yahweh tells Abraham the land is his, and his seed line to come. And he foretells the time when we Israelites migrated to Europe and then to America. We cannot be numbered. There's a lot of us. Now we've got enemies these days. They've always been our enemies from the time of Cain, when he went out and he bred with all these people, the non-Adamics, and spread his seed line around, and then they got bred with the Canaanites eventually. And the Cainy, Q-E-Y-N-I-Y, which is the seed line of Cain, not the Kenites with a K, nope, different people. And the Cainy disappeared eventually as a distinct and separate group because they mixed with the Canaanites so much that they just spread out, and they weren't just one group of people anymore. They were absorbed into the Canaanites. And that includes the Hittites and the subgroup of the Hittites, the Hyksos, that conquered Egypt in Moshe's time and didn't know Yosef. And that they were very cruel. And they persecuted Israel that was there because that was their nature. And when Esau, Edom, Hittites, his seed line was forever destroyed. He was disqualified from anything. And Yahweh says all through Scripture, over and over and over and over, how he hates Edom. How he's going to do all these terrible things and destroy them and punish them and on and on and on. Folks, modern day Jewry claims Edom as an ancestor. If they are Yahweh's chosen people, and he says that he hates Edom so many times, hundreds of times through Scripture, I say they're chosen, all right, but not for what they think they're chosen for. And the term crispy critter comes to mind. Sorry about that, but if you read 2 Thessalonians, it tells you Yahshua is coming back with his mighty messengers in flaming fire to destroy all those that do not know Elohim. And it says in this book right here, I will bless your blessers and curse your cursers. And the Edomite, Canaanite, Khazar, Talmudists curse us and hate us. And every time they pass a Christian church, they spit. They hate our kinsman redeemer that redeemed us on Calvary. They revile his name, and their Talmud has him being boiled in excrement. And that's their book. They don't use the Torah. They only say they use the Torah, but they use the Talmud, which is the rabbinical studies, which they have changed so much. The seed line of Abraham was going to be given the Torah. And in the Torah, it forbids usury by Israel. We are not to put our money out at usury, and we are not to borrow at usury. We are forbidden. But who are the main usurers of today? Who owns all the international banks that have bled our Israelite nations dry with their usury? Who are these people? Why, they are Edom. We are warned later in Scripture, when we are about to enter the promised land, that you are to destroy to a man, kill all of them, men, women, and children. All of these Canaanites, all of these idol-worshipping, pagan, child-sacrificing, sodomite, murdering, thieving, lying, cheating ites. We are given a commission to do this. But if you read in Scripture, we didn't get it done. We were not able to drive them out completely, so we put them under forced labor and tribute. That is not obedience to Yahweh. We didn't finish the job. And we were warned that if we did not finish the job, they would be a thorn in our side and pricks in our eyes. Has that come to pass, ladies and gentlemen? I would say it has. They have financed both sides of every war we have ever fought. They have bled the nation's resources dry. They own all the media except for Eurofolk Radio and Truth Network and Revolution Radio and some of the others. And that's why they want to shut down the internet, because it's free and we can say what we want without editing by their editing staff. And we can preach the true gospel freely. They can't stand that. They have imported all these aliens to destroy us either physically by violence or by interbreeding, because when an Adamite breeds with another species, the resulting children are not Adamites. Therefore, that seed line of the Adamic line is lost. So it is genocide by race mixing. That is one of their main plans. You see it on the Talmud vision all the time. They are extolling and showing and promoting and pushing interracial couples. They are doing the same thing with homosexuality, which is sodomy, which is why Yahweh in this next chapter, next bunch of chapters actually, is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They promote that. They promote pornography, which degrades and destroys the moral values of our white Christian people. And you see here the foundation in Genesis of what's coming. Because Lot is camping near Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's going to be in the cities. And those cities are located in the plain of Shinar. I covered that during Babel. They were going to get the bitumen from the bitumen pits. All right. That's tar pits. And they're sulfurous tar pits. And if there is volcanic action, burning sulfur and pitch are called brimstone, fire and brimstone. All ties together, doesn't it? This is a setup for what's coming. The Bible is very logical. It's very scientific. They did not have the modern scientific terms back in those days to name things like we have now with the names. But they had the physical principles established. We were told to destroy these people. We didn't. We disobeyed, and we continued to disobey. And even when Moshe went up on the mountain to talk with Yahweh and was going to bring the Ten Commandments down, they made a golden calf and were wanting to go back to Mitzrayim. And Aharon engraved it, and then he said, we just threw the gold in the fire and out came this calf. And he lied. And Yahweh would take him early because of that. They had a mixed multitude with them that were not Israel. They brought slaves and servants and other people that wanted to get out of Mitzrayim. And we were told and warned not to have these people with us, but they came along, even on the journey escaping from Paro of the Hyksos that had conquered Egypt. They accompanied us. And they are thorns in our side and pricks in our eyes today. And it is due to our disobedience. Now, we cannot change today what happened back then. And we cannot force our views on our fellow white Adamites. But what we can do as individuals that are believers and trusters in Yahweh and Yeshua, we can reform our lives in obedience to the commands of Yahweh. And by our personal conduct out in society today, people will see the difference on how we are and how we behave, and our moral values and our standards of doing business and interacting even with people of other races. And we can once again do what Yahweh wanted us to do from the beginning and be the light to the world by our obedience to the Torah and the teachings of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Redeemer, who taught nothing but Torah. Because there was New Testament at that time. That came later. It was written quite a bit later. From all the writings of Paul and John and Mark and Matthew and Luke. And they compiled all of that into the Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant. Instead of just reading it and saying, oh yeah, I believe that, we have to do that. We can't just say that we believe in Yahweh. We have to do our belief in Yahweh. We can't just say we believe in Yeshua. We have to do our belief in Yeshua. Thus requires repentance. Not just saying, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. You have to turn 180 degrees from that part of your lifestyle and change it entirely so you don't do it again. Because if you accept Yeshua and proclaim him as kinsman redeemer and then go about and turn back the other way and go back to your earthly, worldly lifestyle, you are basically slapping him in the face and rendering what he did of no effect in your personal life. Now, I don't do the personal savior routine and run up to the altar in front of the Baptist church or Pentecostal church or whatever church and put on a big show. This is a personal thing between you and Yahweh and Yeshua. And you can pray in your closet, in other words, in secret. This is a personal thing that you have to establish. You can proclaim him publicly, that's true. And we should. But your relationship in a one-to-one basis is established by you. If you go closer to him, he's going to draw closer to you. If you study to show yourself to be approved and seek his truth, he will open doors for you and open your eyes and reveal knowledge to you and bless you because you are an obedient child and he loves us. Yes, he's a God of justice and a God of wrath, but he is also a God of love, not exclusively just a God of love. Love, 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 peace, peace, peace. Yeshua said, I come not to bring peace, but a sword, and I'll separate your own family. Father against son and mother against daughter, brother against brother, because you have to value Yahweh and Yeshua above any mankind, including your own family. Yahweh first, everything else after. And that's a tough choice to make when your family's putting pressure on you. Very, very difficult. He understands that. But you're not going to be able to force them into salvation or force them into obedience. Yeshua said, none comes to the Father except by me. And none comes to the Father except my Father call him. He will call us out. We are the called out ones, the ecclesia, and the set apart ones. He said, come out from them, my people, and be ye separate. That's tough to do in today's society, but it's something that we're going to have to manage, and it causes a lot of pressure, and it causes a lot of pain, but that is because of apostasy, and because we didn't carry out this commission to wipe out all those ites. And they are in full force today. Edom has broken the yoke off his neck and is now in control of all the banks. And he doesn't hate us any less today than he did back then. In fact, they hate us more and seek to destroy us. And I say to you, my fellow Israelites out there, repent if you have not. And come out of these churches that teach apostasy and come back to the pure worship of Yahweh and call upon His name and recognize once and for all that our kinsman Redeemer gave us a one-time national shot at redemption. Come under that umbrella and under that new covenant, my brothers and sisters. And that about wraps it up for today. I'm coming down the end here. So I say to you, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and Shalom Aleichem.